It's good to hear the young people being referred to as though they are part of us, and they are. See, they are. And that's just great. So God is moving in old Mount Zion, and things are going the way God wants them to go, I truly believe. All right, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you that this is true. Young and old alike, as in the Bible, are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And we're all learning to participate. As Bill said, it's just God is getting us acquainted with the idea we actually can do something and are supposed to do something. Blessed be your name. Move us, Lord. We're ready to go. And help us to stay steady and to participate. Each one of us has something. The Lord has been close to me in the last few days. And in fact, ever since I lost my equilibrium, and I'm helpless, I can't do the things I'd like to do. But the Lord is all the more real, so I praise him for that. I'd rather have that than not have it. So just recently, I, as you all are, I've been very conscious of angels and how they minister to us and watch over us and everything. But an unusual thing happened. I felt a new person come by my side, and I know it was Jesus. It is Jesus. And all I could say about him is that he's super masculine. All I could think of was, I was calling him, it's manly man, but that doesn't quite do it. He's like a mountain of iron. And his words are like they're being chiseled out of him with a hammer and a chisel. Iron! Man. And he's with me. Those of you that deal in these kind of things, you probably notice it's not an angel. Angels are different. This is the Lord. This is the Lord himself. And I've always known he must be a tremendously masculine man because of his endurance of Calvary. But this is beyond all my imagination. He is iron. I don't know how else to say it. He could be a childlike and everything. That doesn't change that. But the man himself, that God has placed on the throne, is iron. And it's going to be necessary because, as I pondered last night before going to sleep, the world isn't going to get any better. It's going to get messes worse as leaders seek to exalt themselves. And we'll finally have a liar supreme as head of the United Nations. And that's a world I don't want to live in. I know you don't either. But there isn't much about it. But I'll tell you what God's answer is to it, and you won't believe it. You. And I don't mean just this church. I'm talking about the church. The church is far more important than we have any idea. The church is the royal priesthood. And when God gets it to mature, and that's the purpose of the 1,000-year period there, when God brings it to maturity, and it comes down from heaven, yeah, as we see in Revelation 21, the new Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, Christ the head, and his body and an innumerable company of angels come down upon the earth and begin to teach the nations that are on the new earth. That's the answer, not politicians, not political parties, not education, not humanism, nothing. It's the royal priesthood. And what you were telling us all this morning is that you're being trained. See, the Lord has come to declare war on his enemies in you. Amen. In me. Amen. been working on me for 71 years when I first heard the message that came from Sister Beals in Detroit of confessing sin a long time ago. And I've been doing it ever since, and I'm still in that attitude. Lord, you see anything in me that's wrong, take it. I don't want it. I don't want anything that's not of God. Anything. And that's where God wants all of us. Amen. And then there will be iron righteousness and fiery holiness. You know what holiness is? The absence of unclean spirits. The absence of uncleanness. And the life of God pervading. Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. As I am holy. High calling, but God's going to bring us there. Because we see in Isaiah that it will be our role to go out through the Lord as God's chariots and command men and women until the whole earth obeys God and worships Him alone. It's going to happen. It's in the prophets. And God has ordained it. And we are in the forming stages now of the rulers of the world to come. We don't rule and reign. We rule. That tickles me when people say rule and reign. We rule. That's why we go through the things we do, not because God doesn't see what's happening or the devil's winning or anything else. God is forming His iron army, and they're going to prevail. Believe me, they are going to be prevailing. There's total victory ahead, total victory. So each little thing you have to give up, each little thing, you know it happened, you know it's not right. Don't flee from it. Don't ignore it. Don't say everybody's doing it. Take it to the Lord or to an elder of the church of the same gender as yourself and confess it. Say, this is in me. I know this is what I did last week. I had a real estate contract, and the realtor says, tell him, just elevate that your income. Everybody's doing it. And that's what I did. And God brings it to your attention. I don't do those things. And you're being made in my image. Tell the truth. Because all liars, not people who have told a lie, but people who have let it fester until it has become part of their personality. That's what the Revelation 21:8 deals with. The liars, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And that's no joke. That's going to happen. So God is as strict as He is loving, and we need to obey Him implicitly. How many can say amen?
Amen.
All right, we'll turn now to John 14, and we'll start with John 14, verses 19 through 21. 19 through 21. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. Now, I've read that probably 100 times, 1,000 times, and so have you. But what I didn't see in it, it says, because I am living, you also will live. Okay? So it means something more than we've ordinarily understood. And I think it's in Stan's song that we sang this morning. On that day, that famous expression that appears in the Old Testament, the day when all idols shall be cast out, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Yes, we'll be introduced to the Father. I heard an elder of the Foursquare, who's dead now, said, we're Jesus people, none of this Father stuff. I was sitting there in a council of pastors, and I thought, brother, for all of your wonderful works that you have done, and people respect you, you have yet to be introduced to the Father. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. So much for grace. That's a lie, the way it's preached. It really means a release of obligation from the law of Moses. But we're treating it as an alternative to obeying Christ's commands. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Bill talked about that, and I too. So you see, they're two different people, so there's no use fussing about it. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Now look at that. That's what God is doing today. Show myself to him. To whom? The one who keeps my commands. Not the one who says, oh Lord, I'm so weak, I can't do anything. Bring me to heaven by thy grace. That's the slop we've had in place of the word of the Lord. Well, it's changing now. I will show myself to him. I believe he's showing himself to me and to others that testified. He certainly showed himself to Bill, didn't he? He showed himself to Brendan and others. Then Judas Iscariot said, and watch this. But why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? When the Lord comes, the world will not see him. Well, then who is going to see him? Us. The royal priesthood. This is the church age we're in, people, not the age of evangelism, the church age. The Bible talks about the age of evangelism when it comes and all the earth comes to worship God in Jerusalem. And it's good that people can be saved today by believing in Christ and being baptized in water, but that's not for this age to any great extent. It's the church, and the New Testament is about the church. That it will become conformed to the image of Christ, not go to heaven, be conformed to the image of Christ. That is what is set before us. The royal priesthood will be iron. It will be in the image of Christ. Nothing else is going to bring peace to this world than people who rule with a rod of iron and smash the nations to pieces. That's what the Bible says. Second Psalm and other places. Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 19, the world will not see me anymore. Who are they going to see?
The church.
The priesthood. The priesthood. The royal priesthood. Second chapter of 1 Peter. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? If any man loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And as I've said so many times, that word home is the same word translated mansions in John 14, 2. It certainly does not mean mansions. It's talking about the Lord making a place in himself for you and me. And then as we continue to live in him, we bear fruit, which is more people who are like him because they have seen us. So you have a tremendous role ahead of you. And we've always heard, go out and testify. Well, we thought that meant tell people about Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But the testimony is the person who's walking in iron righteousness, fiery holiness, and stern obedience to the Father. It doesn't cost too much. I'd hope to have that on my tombstone. All right, here's the question. How is he going to show himself to us? And it's in John 16. If we start reading in John 16, 19, watch this because it's tricky. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. That is, he said, I'm going away and you're going to grieve. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. And now look how. Just look how. A woman giving birth to a child. This is the way he's going to appear. In the born-again experience, when all things become new and all things are of God, that's how he's going to appear, not to the world, but to us by the new birth. Now you see, that no one was born again until Jesus died and rose again. See, and after that, he came and has been coming in the new birth. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise God. And it's going to be greatly accelerated in the days to come. Sons of iron in Revelation 12. Zion and travail. All right? You did well with that? All right? Now, I'm going to talk to you about how you continue to be born again. See, people have taught born again like it's something you say, I accept Christ. And then you're born again. Born is not a single event in anybody's life, is it? When a child's born, is that all there is to it? No. Well, there's not all there is to it to being born again either. It takes a lifetime to be born again. Ha! You like that, Chris? Yeah, Chris is grinning, I tell you, like a toad on a lily pad. Now, where are we? Here's what you do to make sure that you're being born again each day. And if you're not, you lose your place in the priesthood. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, have it your own way. Well, Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, make sure that you pray every day. You say, oh, we know that, Brother Thompson. Oh, yes. Did you pray yesterday? Did you have a time that you set apart that you prayed regardless of anything? If you watch television, you've got time to pray. Television, I'm beginning to think, is for little kids to babysit them and for older people who have very little social contact for age or illness. That's what television is for. I remember when I was laid up in a convalescent home and every Saturday morning they'd bring in all the wheelchairs, the people who watch cartoons. God bless them. They have no social contact to speak of except with nurses. And that's good, but it's not like television that makes you live like you're living. And but for people like yourselves who are in the prime of life, you don't need much television, but you do need a time that you set aside each day to get right with God. And when you do, he will point out to you these things, that these enemies in you that he's against, and then you'll have a chance to turn from them. Ask Christ to help you, turn from them. Ask Christ to help you, turn from them. And don't let one thing go by. Every time the Lord tells you where there's something not in his image, deal with it. If you have to come for the elders of the church, deal with it. Get it out of your system. Today our nation is sick with lust, and you have to get down and get that thing out. Otherwise, it's going to appear in your resurrection body. That's what you're going to look like, lust. Well, I'm not kidding you. That's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Your house is being formed now, and it's formed by your behavior. Well, that's in 2 Corinthians 5:10. What you have done in the flesh. See, what you have done in the flesh, and it will appear in your body. It's also in Daniel 12:2. It says, some are raised to, like the stars, and others to shame and contempt. That's because the things they have done are appearing. They no longer can have a body that looks nice and inside is hell. You can't have that in the day of resurrection. If hell is in you, hell will come out. And if heaven is in you, heaven will come out. So you're working on your resurrection is what you're doing. We're working on our resurrection. We're saying, thank God when the Lord says, look what you've done. Look what you did last week. You took the Lord's name in vain to be one of the guys. You've taken, I that gave myself on Calvary for you, you're taking my name foolishly. These things are not light. Well, they may be light to us. You lose using a lot of four-letter words so people will think you're one of them. Come on. Sons of iron who will bring holiness, who will bring obedience to God, who will bring righteousness to the whole world. Read it in Isaiah. It's going to happen. But first, he has to have someone through whom he can work a chariot. We'll get on with that. When you pray, have fellowship with the Lord. Ask to borrow his thoughts, to know his thoughts, words, and actions. In other words, don't make your prayer bless Aunt Jane and bless the dog pound and everything else. Fellowship with Christ. Ask for his presence as you pray. It will be the highlight of your day. Otherwise, it's a big pain in the neck. You have to stop television and pray. Come on. You're doing all right so far. Don't give up. All right. Yeah, we're in Galatians 5:19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, so on. We get through to that in a minute. Ask God so that you'll know his thoughts, words, and actions so you can think as he does, speak as he does, and act as he does. That's the way Jesus lived with the Father, and you can live that way with Jesus if you've made up your mind. You're going to need it in the days to come. You're not going to sit in heaven spinning yarn. See, you're not going to be doing that. God has a world that's utterly corrupt. Utterly corrupt. And we ain't seen nothing yet. If we get one of these ungodly politicians that have been ruling over America appointed as head of the United Nations, this world will be hell. There'll be little groups of Christians fearing for their lives. Come on, that's what's coming down. After I'm gone, you can say, oh, Brother Thompson said that years ago. Now, read your Bible every day. You say, I can't read. I don't understand the language. Then get a New American Standard. It's very accurate, and you'll enjoy it. A New American Standard. NIV, which I use, is good, but is not faithful to the Greek in a couple of places. So you have to know what you're doing if you're going to use the NIV. I recommend the New American Standard. And there are other good Bibles. Get one you enjoy, for heaven's sake. Don't sit there and say, why do I have to read this thing? It's fun. If you get one, you can understand and picture what's going on, especially in the Old Testament. Ask the Lord, when you're reading the Bible, ask the Lord what he is saying to you. You just don't open it and say, well, I did my two pages for today. Ask him. Every time you read during your Bible reading time, and you must have one every day, delight thyself in the Lord, trust in the Lord, be joyful about his word, rejoice in it, and you get surprising things out of it if you do. But if you read it like a duty that you have to do, you probably won't get a thing out of it. Four at the par bar, two at the causeway, and four at the par bar. That's a verse. And people will stand up in the formal churches and read those things because they're supposed to read 10 verses and then sit down and nobody had the faintest what they're talking about. I went through that. Audrey and I went through that not too long ago. All right. Now, here's the third thing. There's three things to keep being born again. Three things. What was the first thing? Pray every day. It's a time to pray. Not praying while you're on the run or working on a lathe or something. Set aside a time, a holy time. Get alone. Get in the broom closet. And pray and commune with the Lord. What's the second thing I told you?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible every day. Come on. You read other junk. Read the Bible. You got a translation you enjoy. All right, here's the third thing. If you can, And if they're available, gather with fervent saints every week. Not people talking about grace and the rapture, cross-carrying saints that will inspire you. And as Bill said, or some of them are saying that, you know, they use the gift that they have, the things that God has shown them. It will lift you up. God can't lift you up like that if you're not here. But if you are here and you're deceived along some line, as sure as you're alive, somebody will get up and nail that thing. And you'll say, well, how'd they know I was doing that? That's God pointing it out to you. It's Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the Feast of Trumpets. Christ has come to destroy his enemies in his church, not in the world, in his church. That's going to be the answer to the problems, not the world. They don't know whether they're afoot or horseback when it comes to ethics. All right, we're talking about those three things. Now, somebody told me the three things we have to do every day, all the time, sincerely, to continue to be born again. Yeah, I know you can, Carol. Who else can do it? Can you?
Yes. Read your Bible every day, pray every day, gather with fervent saints.
Gather with what?
Fervent saints.
All right. Did you all hear that?
Yes.
Pray every day, read your Bible every day, and gather on a regular basis with fervent saints. Not those talking about the rapture and grace. Huh? Come on. Yeah, I'm sure that you will. Many of you, most of you, maybe every one of you will. You know, when a baby is born, you don't set him on a chair in the house and say, hey, we got a baby. And don't feed him. Don't do anything to help him when he falls off and hits his noggin on the floor. Leave him there. His baby's been born. That's the way Christians are. Oh, yes, 47 years ago, I accepted Christ. Well, that won't work. To be born again, to be part of the royal priesthood, the call of the Lord, you have to pray every day, read your Bible every day, and gather with fervent saints, not people who attend because it's their duty, but people who love God. Boy, that'll cut down the attendance every time. All right, now here's three evidences that you are being born again. First, your personality will change. You begin to behave in a righteous, holy manner. You won't talk anymore about, as long as we're in the world, we have to sin. You don't talk. Overcomers don't talk like that. They say, Christ is in me, I can overcome, I can do it. I don't care what Satan throws at me, God is greater. That's the way the overcomers talk. They don't make excuse for their behavior. Not if they're being born again, because that inner strength is coming up and it laughs at the devil. A righteous man behaves and Satan flees. He doesn't have power. He works by lies and deception, not by power. You've got the power, but he will deceive you, and he's a master of it. Tell me about it. I've got a PhD in deception. Yeah, oh, yeah, I know what it means to be deceived when you're praying and asking God, and oh, God, and all this. Have fun. You begin to behave in a righteous, holy manner. The person's been saved 10 years and they're still the same old person. They may have accepted Christ at one moment, but it's all leaked out. And believe me, it can leak. You've got to keep nourishing, keep feeding that man in there. Open the door. He's knocking. He'll sit down with you and have fellowship with you. And he'll feed with you on your, here's what you have to give him, obedience and worship. You know what? That's what you give him. You know what he gives you? What does he give you, Lisa? You know. His body and blood. You say, blech. Listen, that's your resurrection. Read John 6. A resurrection is in his body and blood. All right, now, did you hear what I said? You give him what? First, obedience. That's the most important. To hearken, listen to Christ and obey him is more important in God's sight than the fat of rams. To hearken is more important than the fat of rams, more important than churchly activities. To obey the Lord. God loves obedience. And he doesn't have much of it in America, I don't think, because of the accent on the rapture. What are you going to do about the rapture? But imagine what it'll be like if there were such a thing, which there isn't. All right, now, you begin to overcome sin if you're being born again. Each day, you're a little stronger, a little better able to overcome sin. Or you can sit in the corner with people and mourn about how we have to sin. Well, God has a place for them, and they all live together. How would you like to live in a place? Whoa. But he hates mixtures. All right. Your inner nature is transformed. You become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. That's a big order. Same thing in Ephesians in the 4th chapter. That through the gifts and ministries we attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We don't remain babies. We grow. Isn't that right? Sure, we grow. All right, now, that's one way we know we're being born again. What is that way? You know, I've learned to ask questions. I taught school for 25 years. I've learned to ask questions.
You behave righteously.
There you go. You overcame things you never thought you could overcome before. You overcome gossiping. Whoa. Oh, yeah. It's possible. And it pleases the Lord. He doesn't like you downing people on the telephone. Okay? But that's my joy of my life. Now, I'm going to give you two more things and listen to them. Don't sit there and dream. Listen to what I'm saying. Here's the second thing. God and Christ come to live in you. We read that in John 14:23. God and Christ come to live in you. You say, oh, well, that's nice. I'm glad of that. Listen, I'm talking about a real experience. I'm talking about something that happens to you that you didn't have before. And I want to tell you what they're going to do about it. Are you ready? They're going to make you a chariot. God wants to go to the four farthest reaches of his creation. Here's two ladies. They're fighting, you know, in some place, maybe up in Lapland. Two ladies are fighting about whose reindeer that is. It's mine. No, it's not. It's mine. My mother gave it to me. No, it's my reindeer. And God hears that. God hears everything. Okay? All things are naked and open with him with whom we have to do. Where's that found?
Hebrews.
Hebrews. Good. Go to the head of the class. All right. Now, I said God's going to ride up to Lapland in some saint. And he's going to pray and say, whose reindeer is this? And the Spirit of God will tell him. Because God's in that chariot, and so is his Spirit, and so is Christ. And you, you're the chariot. Very important. And you say to the ladies, now, the Spirit of God has told me that this reindeer was originally given to this lady by her mother as a birthday present. And then maybe he'll bring with him a present to give to the lady who was lying and say, God loves you and he wants you to be a happy girl, but the reindeer belongs to this other lady. That's how he's going to bring peace. It's through you. Blessed are the peacemakers. What are they called? Children of God. Oh, but God, see, before Christ, God used what for his chariot? You don't know. He used cherubim. Let's look at Ezekiel, the first chapter. In particular, the 26th verse of Ezekiel 1. And you'll see God in his chariot. And this time it's not saints. Right? Did you see it? Above the expanse over their head was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And I believe that's in the foundation of the wall of the New Jerusalem. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. And then it goes on and describes, well, the whole first chapter of Ezekiel describes the cherubim of glory. Oh, and let's look at, there's another verse in Psalms 68, verse 19, I think. My handwriting is deteriorating. You got it? Now, I tell you what I want. I want Psalms 18, verse 10. That's what I want. We're going to get to that other verse in a minute. Psalms 18, verse 10. Somebody read it, and loud, because I don't hear the greatest. Somebody read it. Please, don't delay all morning.
He rode on a cherub and flew, soaring on the wings of the wind.
Amen. That's how he used to travel. But look at Psalms 68, verse 19. What does it say? That is a 19.
17.
17. The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. Used car lot there. And the Lord has come from Sinai, from the Old Testament, into his sanctuary, into Hebrews 12, verse 22. Let's look at that. Lord's getting a workout this morning. But you have come to Mount Zion. Now we're in the New Testament. See, we've left Sinai. See, we left Sinai. Isn't that what it said in Psalm 68? You've come from Sinai to the sanctuary. And this is the sanctuary where God is. You have come to God, the judge of all men. Wait, let's see. No. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels. See, they're in Mount Zion. They're in the church. They'll be in the bride, not part of the bride, but accompanying the bride. They're ministering spirits to the bride. And you'll see them in Revelation 21 coming down from heaven when heaven comes to the earth. God the Father on his royal throne. And that is the New Jerusalem, and there's an innumerable company of angels. We've come from the law to grace, where you hear from Jesus and do what he says instead of reading it on tablets of stone. Now, It says Psalm 68, Hebrews 12. And then we read about the cherubim of glory in the Old Testament. Now you are God is doing these things. You're being born again so you can be what? You have any ideas?
His chariot, his bride.
So you'll be a chariot of God. That's what you're being made, a chariot of God. That's why he dwells in you. So he can go out through his creation and make a peaceable world. But you don't have to fear when a child is born. He'll grow up. By the time he grows up, he'll be the victim of something from the United Nations. All right, now. What was the first thing, the first sign of being born again?
Righteousness.
Absolutely, righteousness and holiness and obedience to God. Now, what is the second thing that it makes you know you're being born again? What's the second thing?
God in Christ come to live in you.
God in Christ come to live in you. Kathy, your grandson over here is getting all the answers. She's very happy with that. All right. There's one more thing. What do you think it is? A sign that you're successful in your pursuit of being born again. No idea. This godly assembly has no idea. The resurrection.
Jamie said it.
See, everybody's going to be resurrected. John 5, 28 and 29. For all that are in the grave shall hear his voice come forth. So when Paul's talking about attaining to the resurrection, he means the resurrection to righteousness. See, everybody's going to be resurrected. And as the Bible says, some to life and some to condemnation. Now, whether you're resurrected to life or to condemnation depends on if you've been successful pursuing the born-again experience. Because everything, now as Daniel says in 12, chapter 12, I think it's verse 1, those who turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars. Now there's a goal for you. Not to sit up in heaven doing nothing. But when people look, they see the glory of God. And others to shame and everlasting contempt. The difference is if you pursued the born-again experience, every day becoming a new creation, every day the old things passing away, everything, all things of God, as it says, or I thought it was going to say. Oh, yes, we've got it here in Daniel. See it? Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. That day is coming. It's a real day. It's not the dream of some magi or some reader of horoscopes. This is something that's going to happen to you. You're going to be raised. And what you look like will depend upon what you are doing today and tomorrow and the next day and what you have done. Because if you've done wrong, you can clean your robe. How do you clean your robe? All a priesthood has to have a robe that shines white and beautiful. How do you clean your robe when you sin? How? How do you wash your robe in the blood of the Lamb? What we've been talking about, all these wonderful people coming from the camp. Repent. Repent. That doesn't mean to say I'm sorry. It means to turn from what you've been doing. It's been revealed to you that everything, and you thought you were doing swell, and come to find out you've been displeasing God. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, talking about the sacrifices for sin, it says when someone sins unwittingly, they don't know they have sinned. They are under condemnation of the Lord when it becomes known to them. Eh? When it becomes known to them. You can read that in Leviticus. Now, that's what's going on today. God is making known to you things you always thought were okay. Your pride. Someone was telling us today about saying, well, I was better than half of them, you know. You know? And see, the Spirit convicts. That's not right. You don't say things like that. See? And there are so many things. And I talked to you about Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm not going to go through that. Again, we've been through that many times. All the actions of the flesh, beginning always in the list in Ephesians 5, and the list in Colossians 3, always beginning with the lust of the flesh, always. And America's drowning in it today. And Christians are drowning in it and thinking they're serving God. Drowning in lust. Very hard with the released demons that are about us to overcome that thing. You have to be born again. You have to, when Jesus shows it to you, then you have to say, Lord, help me. Help me. And he will help you. And you say, I'm going to turn from this thing. Help me. And he'll give you a new spirit. You don't have to do it all alone. He'll give you a new spirit. You say, wow. I didn't know that was like that. Well, Bill told you how it works. It's real, people. It's not some religious thing I'm up here babbling about. I'm talking about your life. And now what we're going to do right now, we're all going to stand. Yeah, I know. It's difficult after you've been sitting for long. If I stand up in a hurry, I fall over. So you're better off than I am. Is that right, Chris? Yeah. All right, now this is what I want you to do.
Don't forget we have communion.
Huh?
We have communion today.
The communion?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do this as part of the communion. But what I want you to do now is to search your heart. And see if God has spoken to you about something this week. And you haven't done anything about it. You just figure, oh, well, I'm in this world. When I go to heaven, I won't sin. Which is where sin began. This is a day of reality, Rosh Hashanah. Now, here's a trick you can do. If you have someone next to you of the same gender, and God has really spoken to you about something, maybe it's been a besetting sin, something long-standing, tell the person next to you about it. Tell them what you've done, what you're doing. You say, I'm mortally ashamed. Well, sure, you should be, but God doesn't want you to be ashamed to the point that you don't confess at least to Jesus. And sometimes very helpfully to a friend or to one of the elders of the church. Just tell them what you've done, and you know it's not the image of God, but you figured it's your right to do so. Jesus, look down at the hearts now. Look at the hearts now, Lord. Here's a conscientious people. Want to be right with you. Tell them if there's something in their life that is not in your image. And they'll ask you, Lord, to help. And I pray you'll help if you've helped me so many times. Miraculously. Powerfully, as you helped Bill, he prayed and then was surprised at the reality of the response. Lord, as we're coming to you right now in the name of Jesus, we bring to you this thing we're confessing now that's not in the image of God. And we're a little embarrassed to bring it up before the Lord, but he has seen everything. And so, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bind the spirit that has been confessed to you, bind the spirit that has been confessed to you, Satan. Christ defeated you on the cross, and we do not address you in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, and we say, Leave this person now in Jesus' name and do not go through anyone that they know and get out of this church, Satan. You're not welcome here. Just leave. Leave. And now, Lord, I give this individual, Lord, your help in shutting the door against hell, shutting the door against the devil, shutting the door against contempt. And now, Lord, we come into your presence. I feel the presence of the Lord, so somebody struck gold here. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Father, in Jesus. Come on, let's all praise the Lord. Jesus, we praise you. We love you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you have shed your blood on the cross for our sins, and now we are washing our robes in the blood of the Lamb. Praise your name. We love you, Lord, that you've done this for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be strong in faith. It's gone if you believe. Believe that it's gone and it will go. Satan cannot stand against your belief and your faith in Jesus. He has no power. The power is in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it all go. Let it all go. In Jesus' name. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask, to be like him. Praise your name. All right, you can visit, you can do what you want to, you can pray at the altar and enjoy yourselves and enjoy the Lord.